Amen, 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 amen. All right, all right. Hallelujah. You got your Bibles? Turn with me to John, the 5th chapter. If you don't have your Bible, use your cell phone, your iPhone. If not, reach over and take your neighbor's iPhone. Amen. And children are going to their church. 4 feet and under. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Young people are going to their youth. John, the 5th chapter. God's got a word, always has a word for us. And I don't have anything for you as far as a word, but God does. Amen. Amen. I really know you didn't come, and I didn't come to hear what man has to say. How many have heard enough of what man has to say to last you the rest of your life? Amen. I want to hear what God has to say, and so I'm trusting God that he is helping me to share with you as honestly and as forthrightly and as I can what he's put in my heart. John, the 5th chapter, once you have it, if you'll stand with me, we'll honor the author of this book. If you'd like to remain seated, that's fine. We'll honor him either way, but our way is to stand and honor the author as we read his word. Amen. When you got it, say, I got it. Praise God. John, the 5th chapter. Jesus has just performed his second miracle there in Judea, the second miracle that Jesus did as he came out of Judea into Galilee. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says this: after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Amen. They just didn't have the power. Impotent folk of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. They were paralyzed limbs. There was all kinds of people having all kinds of problems, which is true of all mankind in different ways. Verse 4, for an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in it, was made whole of whatsoever disease he or she had. And a certain man, somebody say a certain man. A certain man was there, just like there are certain men here and women, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Some things just last way too long. Would you say amen? A long time in that state, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Kind of a funny question, isn't it? We're going to talk about that. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. Impotent means he had no power, not able to do what he wanted to do. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately, somebody say immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Amen. Amen. I feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus, the light of the world. I thank you, Father, for each and every one who is here today that you have made, the Bible says, in your image. I thank you for that image. We know that that is one reason the devil, the adversary, does not like us. We are made in the image of God, and when he sees us, he sees God. And Lord, I praise you now for each one. Father, I pray for a rhema word, a personal word, something that you have for them, something they need to hear, something that will help them and encourage them and move them and set us all free. Lord, I ask you to help us now in the places, Father, that we find ourselves in, places that we've not, obviously in some cases, didn't want to be and don't want to be now, but we are there and we need Jesus this morning to come by and help us to rise up and take up our beds, the things that the enemy is laying us out in, and take it up and walk and be healed. I ask you to do that now. Precious Holy Spirit, come in your strength and power as only you can. I am not depending on man or flesh or anything I can do. You are God, and there is none like you and none beside you. You will stand alone. You are in a league, in a class, all by yourself. You are God, and I honor you, and I humble myself before you. Help me, Lord, to speak now, Father, a word that you would speak through me, over me, around me, in spite of me, whatever. Speak to the heart today of these that have come this way. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So be it. God bless you. You may be seated in his presence. Amen. Some time ago, God impressed me. It was quite a while ago with the word thrive, following survive. And I felt like the Lord said, I don't want you just to survive. Surviving is good. How many know surviving is good? Yeah, you got to be a survivor. Amen? But there's more to surviving. And that is the title of the message today. Survival is not enough. It's good, but it's not enough. Come on. And so as I was, God had been speaking to me about that word thrive, not just survive, I looked up that word, and it's a very good definition. To thrive means to prosper and flourish, to be successful. Amen. As the result of economical management. God is concerned about your economy, economics, to grow vigorously or luxuriantly, to improve physically, succeed. Tell three people around you, don't just survive, thrive. Tell them, don't just survive, thrive. Yeah. God wants you to thrive. And I heard recently a message by our bishop, one of our bishops, Bishop Jakes, and he was commenting some things, and matter of fact, his message was survival is not enough. And I want to share a few thoughts along with what the Lord has given me, and I believe God will help us all this morning to receive, amen, to receive and to thrive. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm ready to thrive, aren't you? I've been surviving. I'm ready to thrive. I'm into thriving now. I said I'm into thriving now. I want to thrive. I don't just want to be a survivor. That's good, as I said, but God has more for us. We have the story here, a true story. The pool of Bethesda was designated for the halt, for the lame, for the blind, and they congregated there on their porches, each in his own category. They congregated there, surviving in the midst of a completely paradoxical situation. One side, people are busy moving. In fact, they're near the sheep gate, the sheep market. Industry is going on. Productivity is going on. Business is going on. Children are playing, commerce is moving, politics are going on. But on the other side are the folk that are stuck. Five porches for five different reasons, five different categories. They do not share the same reason, but it has left them with the same result. One man is blind, that's why he's there. Another man is halt, that's why he's there. Another man is crippled, that's why he's there. He can't see, he can't move. The other man, he walks fine, but he can see good, but he is withered. He can't work because he's withered. The only thing they have in common is that each of them have some malady, some trauma, some physical infirmity that has brought them to this place. Amen. Now, the pool of Bethesda is also indicative of the times in which this text is taken. There were no medical hospitals to take these people to that they might be made whole. This was a holding place for people who weren't dead, but they weren't alive either. Are you following me? They were stuck in a state betwixt and between, not quite being well enough to be entered into the commerce and the life and the happiness going on around them, and not dead enough to be in the cemetery. They were stuck. And every day that they lived, they enjoyed the fact that they had survived. Because in an environment that lends itself to people who have been through catastrophic situations, it is not uncommon to lose somebody every day. So whether you got well or not, instead of celebrating the fact that you got well to some degree, the very fact that you are still alive is celebration in itself. I want you to understand that because the text suggests a pathology here that evolves around this pool, a pathology that is given to people who have survived. And I want you to listen at them and think about you. Can I say that again? I want you to listen at them, but I want you to think about you. Amen. Because it is possible to develop a mentality to fit your environment that simply makes the best of a bad situation. Amen. I'm not happy. I'm not living my life to the fullest. I'm not getting the most of my life, so I'm going to bring my expectation down to my reality and enjoy the fact that at least they didn't carry me off to the morgue today. I'm still here. We're still married, or we're not still married. We still got a roof over our head. Remember, Mama used to say that. Thank God you got a roof over your head. Never mind that it leaks. It's caving in. Amen. And it hasn't been painted for 20 years. And the carpet's 25 years old and needs to be changed. I put that little one in for my wife. Amen. Oh, I mean, we all have something. But just thank God you still got a roof over your head. But some of the torture at the pool of Bethesda exists in the commerce in which it is surrounded. Because if I am down and everybody else is down around me, then down becomes normal. But what makes down terrible is when you are down and you can still see up. Yeah. And if you're going to keep a people enslaved, don't teach them how to read. Because reading people escape their environment. People that graduate from college escape their environment. People that go to school escape their environment and see lifestyles of other people, and they dare to want it. Amen. Don't let them have a television set, because they'll see that all the young people are not barefoot and living in huts. Amen. And they'll see when people see something beyond them, generally it will make them go after it. Amen. Bishop said this. He said, I'm a big believer in exposing people to different things. A lot of times people don't want anything because they have not been exposed to anything. Are you there? When we read that the pool of Bethesda existed beside the sheep market, we don't pay any attention to it, but the contrast is glaring. That on the one hand, herds of sheep are being brought down to the market to be sold. Commerce and business and life and productivity is going on. And on the other side, they're picking their sores and wrapping their wounds because they are stuck in a state of survival. Somebody say stuck. This may be the most important message you and I will ever hear in our lives, because I'm learning as a leader, I don't care how anointed you are, how gifted you are to speak, how well you can sing, just because you're anointed does not mean you escape the subculture that you develop around your dysfunction that holds you a prisoner. You can sing all you want. Canaries sing, but they're still in a cage. Preach and witness all you want to. But you can say something with your mouth that you do not live with your life. How many have found that to be true in some of the churches you have attended? Some of the people, Christian people, quote, that you know. The blind had a porch. The lame had a porch. The halt had a porch. And Bishop also said, they said when he does worship shops outside the church there on leadership and human development, he tells people this. He says, if you want to know where you are or what porch you're on, look at your cell phone. Because your cell phone will tell me who you talk to, and whoever you spend your time talking to, that's the porch you're on. Amen. Lord, you're going to have to help me because this is getting... Don't let me lose them, Lord. They just got here. Amen. You cannot surround yourself with blindness and expect to see. You cannot run with a pack of angry women and expect to be happy and fulfilled. You cannot hang out with a bunch of defeated, going nowhere, no vision men, and be overcomers. You are who you hang around. So I want to ask you, what is the name of your porch? Can't run around with prejudiced people and not be prejudiced. You can't run around with arrogant people and not be arrogant. Let me ask you again, what is the name of your porch? Blind people all get together because they understand each other. They enable each other. They empower each other. Blind men said, I can't see. And the other one said, I know what you're talking about, man. I heard here. Let me tell you about mine. He said, I can't see anything at all. They had developed a system of survival built around what would not go away. Are you still there? It kind of sounds like our communities. We have systems of survival built around what wouldn't and would not go away. And if we could heal it, we would leave it. But since we can't heal it, we make it nice and comfortable and fix it up and say we like it. Nobody likes to be afraid to come out of their house. Nobody likes to be mugged. Nobody likes to have their car stolen. Nobody likes being raped. Nobody likes being broke. Nobody likes being lonely. Nobody likes being fired or laid off. Nobody likes being a victim of domestic violence. Nobody likes negativity. But if you're not careful, you will build a system around something you have lost the faith that it could ever change. It's not hard to lose the faith that it can ever change when you've been in it for the amount of time that you've been in it. This man was 38 years. Some of us have been in things 20 years, 25 years. It's hard to keep the faith. And you can lose the faith that anything can change. Amen. Defining yourself by the dysfunction. Oh, I'm this. I'm that. I run with this and the that of it all. What you've done is you've locked yourself into a perpetual state of dysfunction and developed a cultural survival mechanism to fit what doesn't work in your life. So Jesus comes to the pool. And the Bible says when he looked around, he saw this lame man, and he saw him lying there, and how long he'd been there, lying there. And the answer asked a question, capital A. You say Jesus is the answer, and I agree with you. Jesus is the answer. He is the sovereign God, the all-knowing God, who is omniscient, knows everything, the God who knows one end from the beginning. And when he saw this man's position and his condition, the God who knows everything said, do you want to be made whole? Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of, it's easy to think this is a crazy question. Huh? This is kind of an unintelligent question, forgive me, Lord, but because you could see somebody lying 38 years and ask them, do you want to be made well? Come on. That's like asking somebody that's starving, you want to eat? Uh-huh. That seems a little silly, doesn't it? Till you read a little closer. When he saw him lying there, the Bible says, when he saw his behavior, stay with me. When he saw his behavior, you see what I'm saying? He was saying, nothing in your actions lets me know that you want to get up. How many know actions speak louder than words? Your words will say one thing, but your actions will betray. Jesus is saying, I'm confused. How could you be this sick, this long, and be that comfortable? Huh? You mean you made a bed? You got a bed in that mess? You mean you got a teddy bear and a radio in that mess? And he says, I don't want to disturb you, fella, if you like where you are. Huh? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of disturbing people who like where they are. So he says, I realize that 38 years you escaped death, 38 years you're still alive, 38 years you made it through, 38 years you're holding on, but I'm just confused. Is survival all you want? Because if survival is all you want, stop praying to me. If all you want me to do is sustain you in the same position that you're already in, then leave me alone. I know it's tight, but it's right. Can we go a little deeper with this? So he says, Jesus, wilt thou be made whole? He said, wilt thou? Because he said, I cannot do this against your will. You and I are going to have to be in agreement. I can't tell you how many people who curse their own deliverance. Subconsciously, they sabotage their own success. They run away from anybody who loves them because they don't feel lovable. And if anything starts going good, they'll find something bad to focus on until they mess it up because they are hell-bent on staying in their bed. That's why Jesus asked him, do you want to be made whole? Do you? Now, I'm talking about them, but I want you to think about you. Some women are like hateful men. They're not happy till they get one that punches them, and they ask for prayer, even though they called and asked for prayer. They don't really like anybody nice. I've seen this in almost 40 years of pastoral ministry. Someplace a little closer than I would like. What is wrong with you that better doesn't look good? When he sent you better, it was so foreign to you that you didn't like it. Have you developed an addiction to your affliction? Hey, whoo, I feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Mm-hmm. Because even God says, I don't want to take you where you don't want to go. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to change, or do you just want God to make convenient your porch? I want some air conditioning, Lord. I like some carpet. Sure be nice. But how many know you're still on the porch? You just decorated it. Amen. I'd like to get a new dress, go out. Well, not me, you know, in case you get the wrong idea. Go out on the weekend. I may know you're just decorating the porch. Can we go just a little deeper? So Jesus asked the man, wilt thou be made whole? Let me ask you, wilt thou be made whole? Then Jesus, he's still confused because he said, I ought to be able to look at your situation and tell you don't want to stay there. But because you seem so comfortable in it, I'm confused. Wilt thou be made? He said, well, yes, yeah, yeah. But let me show you why I'm like this. First of all, I'm like this because of what I didn't get. I didn't have anybody to carry me into the pool. It's not that I didn't have opportunities, but when I got the opportunity, I didn't have the support. Nobody supported me. So I'm like this because of who wouldn't carry me. I'm like this because how I was raised, where I was raised. I'm like this because of my skin. I'm like this because I didn't have a father. I'm like this because I didn't have a mother. I'm like this because of my first husband. I'm like this because of my wife. That's a good one, isn't it, men? Yeah, the wives are not smiling, but that's we understand. I'm like this because of what my pastor said about me. I'm like this. I lost most of my amens, but it's okay. Anytime, hear me, please, anytime you justify your condition, you have given license to it to stay. Woo. So I'm like this because of what I didn't have, what I didn't get. And then the second reason I'm like this was that when I did decide to try, I did. Lord, you know I tried a couple of times. Amen. You know I tried, Lord. I dated a couple of times. I did, Lord. I don't know what happened. I tried. Lord, I tried. While I was getting up, somebody got in front of me. Well, I guess they did. They wanted it. They wanted it. My grandson was in Walmart the other day, and he asked one of the workers there. She was off duty, but she had her Walmart things. He said, I want to know where the, I forget what it was, but it was a good one, whatever it was. There was ones that were gooder and lesser. And so she showed him where it was, and he went to get it, and she snatched the only one there. He didn't say anything. Somebody told him, said, you should have talked to the manager. Well, maybe you should, but at least she wanted it. I said she wanted it, and she went for it. Hallelujah. I don't think it was right what she did. Maybe it wasn't right how lackadaisical he was about getting it. Come on. If you want it, get it. They wanted it. I want to ask the people that want it, do you want it bad enough to get in somebody's way to get it? Do you want it bad enough to get in somebody's way to get it? He said, that doesn't sound very nice, Pastor. But I want to tell you, you can't be polite and get this. I said, you can't be polite and get this. There comes a time when you got to say, if you don't want nothing, then get out of my way. Excuse me, I got to go for it. Excuse me. How about the woman with the issue of blood? Bible says she pressed through the crowd. You got to press sometimes. You can't wait for the crowd to disperse. Man, they'll crowd you out. You got to press sometimes. I'm pressing. I'm moving to Jesus. I'm pressing through the crowd of things that's pushing me out, that's taking me out, that wants to keep me out. I got to press through the crowd sometimes. You're going to have to press some things through some things, brother, sister, because I want to tell you, you and I know they're pressing on you, and they're not going to stop pressing on you till you do something to press back. And you say, I'm tired of pressing back. Well, then get pressed, because you can't get tired of getting pressed. I said, you don't have the luxury of being tired to get pressed. Nobody called this. Nobody told you. Jesus didn't tell you this was going to be a walk in the park. Tell you this was no picnic. He didn't tell you you're going to get everything easy. We're never going to have any trials. We're going to have the devil ever attack you. Amen. He never said none of that. He said, many are the troubles, many are troubles, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So you're going to have some problems. There are going to be some things, but God will deliver you out of them all. But you got to be there so God can deliver you out of them. We deliver ourselves, and all we deliver ourselves in is into more trouble. Keep smiling, preacher. I know you're not angry. Won't anybody go out and say, that's a mean man up there? Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm really a cream puff. Amen. Yeah. High five somebody next to you and tell them, I'm going to get this before the year is over. High five somebody and tell them, I'm going to get this before the year is over. See, God's already made a decision. He wants you to have this before this year is over. And I don't know about you, but I got an expectation. I got a feeling. I can't prove it by anything I'm saying, but I sense it. God is moving. God is moving, and the enemy is moving too, because he knows you're getting closer and closer and closer, and so are we as a church. And I don't care what I see or what I hear God in my spirit. I feel his presence. I know God is faithful, and I know he cannot lie. And what he tells me is exactly opposite of what I see and what I feel and what I hear. But whose report are you going to believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. I believe that's called faith, and it's not lost faith. It's not blind faith. It's just I sense it in my spirit, spirit to spirit. God is saying, telling me. See, the problem is some of our spirit is so welded to our soul, our emotions, and our feelings that we're not getting much in the spirit. We're moving by senses, feelings. And friend, feelings, you know what feelings. Thank God for feelings, but shoot, in the morning I can have one feeling. By night I have another feeling. How many ever got up having one of them feelings? And then some of you, because you had a feeling, your partner got a feeling. Yeah. They got up grouchy on the wrong side, and you said, well, come on now. Two can play that game. You want to be ugly? You ain't seen ugly. About to get ugly up here. Amen. Hallelujah. Can't be polite and get this. You got to go for it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get it before the year's over. I am. This is my year for the impossible to be made possible. Let me excuse myself. Excuse me, get out of my way. Say, excuse me, get out of my way. I'm going to get mine. Whoo, shatarabo, I feel God. I'm going to get mine. Ain't no devil stealing that from me. I'm going to get through that crowd. You got to make a determination to do that, because the crowd will keep you out. Crowd of things. The devil has a crowd of things and situations that will keep you out. Take you out. I survived, but now I will succeed. Shout, I survived. But now I will succeed. I survived, but now I will succeed. I will thrive. Yeah, 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 yeah. We got to speak it. We got to shout it. It's time to thrive. You see, for 38 years at a particular season, legend says, an angel came down and troubled the water.
I'm almost done.
Somebody say, thank God. Hallelujah. Now, if the season only came once a year, which it did, and you had 38 years, you had 38 chances. Does that make sense? To position yourself. And now you see, you know the day is coming, 364 days before it gets here, and you can't wait till you see the angel start to get up and get out of your bed. Huh? You can't wait till you see the angel. You got to get yourself, you got to arrange some stuff so that the next time the angel comes by this pool, and somebody in here is so close that the Lord says to you, jump in the pool, jump in, tell your neighbor survival's not enough, it's not enough, it's not enough. I don't know, but this is speaking to all of us. Survival's not enough for this pastor, this preacher. Sometimes we settle for survival, just thankful we could survive, but there's more. Amen. This is a big subject, and some of us are hooked on the survival mode. We've been there a long time. Amen. It's time we embrace God's strength and purpose so that we can live. What's the point of surviving if we're not going to live after we survived it? Come on. What's the point? Oh, man. Lord, I'm going to live it. I survived it now. Talk me out of it, devil. Run me out of it. I'm going to run you out of it. Amen. In Jesus' name, I've been through too much. We've survived too many things. We've been through too many things. We are not going to stop here. And the Lord is not thinking anyway that he's going to leave you there. You'll only be there if you stay there. And I'm not staying there. Hallelujah. And God will speak to every one of us on ways to move and what he would have us to do and what we can do so that we can start living. Amen? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, not survival. Did he say survival? I've come that you might have life. And life more abundant. Jesus wants you to have the abundant life. Not necessarily stuff, that too. But he wants you to have abundant wisdom, abundant joy, abundant spirituality. Whatever it is that your destiny is designed for you to do. It's not supposed to be a handful or a cupful of harvest. It's supposed to be abundant, overflowing. My cup runneth over. I'm ready for my cup to run over. It's run over a few times, but but then somebody drinks out of my cup. And then you have to sing the country song, Somebody Done Somebody Wrong. Uh-huh, same old song. Woo! You need to run over and be blessed. Amen. Not be run over, but you need your cup running over. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. My cup runneth over. I'm telling you, God is a running over, blessing God. God is ready to run it over on you. I said, God is ready to run it over on you. That's what you're doing here this morning. That's why you're hearing this message. That's why God is shaking this thing loose. He's saying, the devil's kept you where he's kept you long enough. It's time for you to break out. Time for you to move out. Time for you to leave that. Leave that porch. We made the porch comfortable. We moved the lazy boy in. Not wrong with a lazy boy, but I don't want it on the porch. Amen. Not those porches of lame, sick, blind. Halt. Not those porches. Amen. Running over blessing. I said, God's got a running over blessing. I hope somebody's got ears to hear it this morning. Because I'm not telling you, just myself telling you. I'm telling you, God sent me to tell you, he's got a running over blessing for you. You've been through too much. You've endured too much. You've suffered too long. You've had too much indignities. You've had too much put on you. God is ready. God's got an overflowing blessing. But he's asking the question, wilt thou be made whole? If you don't want it, he ain't going to take you where you don't want to go. Come on. Boy, it's tough when your environment. It's tough to break out of some of that. Because I don't know about you, but I identify with that impotent man. I said for a long time, it was because of this. I'm this way because of this. And I'm this way because of that one. And I'm this way because of mama. And I'm this way because of the police. And I'm this way because of the parole officer. And I'm this way because of that. And I'm this way because of that. And I didn't get that. And I lost all of that. And finally, I had to come to the place where I had to come out of that porch. I had to get off of that porch. I had to quit blaming everybody else. Yeah, it was their fault. A lot of it. Yes, I lost a lot because people messed up people. We have a world of messed up people. If you expect perfect people, you're in the wrong world. Is your family perfect? I know you're the only perfect one in it, but that was just me. I'm the only perfect one in my family. Yeah, Vic's the only perfect one in his family. Amen. Amen. I want it. I've been through much not to get it. And Lord, I thank you for helping us get off those porches, just surviving. God's a better God than that. I've always believed it. But I have got stuck in the survivor mode. Come on, can we be honest? Can we be honest? Sometimes you're just trying to survive. Just trying to keep my head above water. Man, it can be tough. But God's saying, this is your time. This is the time for the church. This is the end time. This is the time that I'm pouring out my spirit. This is the time that I said your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men are going to dream dreams and your young men are going to see visions. And I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm already beginning to pour it out. Yeah, the devil's kicking. Yeah, the devil's trying. But I'm telling you, God is moving faster than the devil ever thought to move. God is blessing quicker than the devil can curse you. Hey, I'm telling you, God is helping us. Every time the enemy trips me, God is right there to steady me and bless me. Every time he's stealing something, God's ready to make it up. I'm telling you, it's happening. More and more and more. Expect it. Because God said he's going to have a church without spot or wrinkle. Or any such thing. A glorious church. Woo! Glory! God is moving. And I know he's moving in your life. And I know you've been through a lot of things. Some of you are going through a lot of things right now. But I want to tell you, God is with you. God is with you. He loves you. He's not basing it on how spiritual anybody else thinks you are. On how many Sundays you came to church. What you gave in the offering. He's basing it on what he knows about you. And what he likes about is he loves you. He cares about you. What we do is important, yes, but it's more important that he loves me. And it's not based on what I do or what I don't do. It's based that he loves me because I'm his son. My kids, I love it when they do good, but when they don't, I still love them. I might kick their little hiney a little bit. But no, I don't kick anything. Hallelujah. Kick myself sometimes. Are you still there? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Been kind of a strong word, hadn't it? Whew. Lord, we thank you for all the just give all the dysfunctional things back to the devil. He's the dysfunctional one. We'll give it all. He likes that. That's his deal. We thank you, Father, for healing us and helping us to take up our beds and walk. The thing that's laid us out. The thing that threatens. The thing that's kept us down. Oh, God, the thing that we didn't feel like we could get up. Some of us have been in different things for different amounts of time, and it's easy to try to just live with it and make the best of it. We've done that, Lord. I'm not saying that's wrong, but God, there's more than that for us. There's a thriving, not just surviving. It's like succeeding after surviving. Father, I want to thank you for bringing that success, that succeeding into every home, every life, every marriage, every man, every woman, every church, this church, your church. I thank you for what you're doing. Father, help us where our faith level is a little low because we've been in some things for so long that we've given up that it can be any different. And you know that's not hard to do, Lord. When you've been in it as long as some of the things we've been in, we're just trying to cope with it, just trying to deal with it, just trying to survive it. But Father, I think you're ready to take us beyond that now. I said he's ready to take you beyond that now. Receive faith from this message. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Get in touch with your spirit and the spirit of God, spirit to spirit. Hear what he's saying so you can have joy, so you can have hope, so you can believe that it can be better and not give up. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for this day. God, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you for every life. You know where they're at. There's power in that name. Come on, let's stand. Let's receive that power this morning. Stand with me, would you? Yes. There's power. Let your power take over, Holy Spirit. I shared what you want me to. Now do what you do. You are the power. You are the glory. You're the lifter of our heads. There's power. Power to set us free. Power to deliver us. Power to heal. Power to reconcile. Power in that name. There is power. Ah. Every chain, break it, Lord. Your power in us. Hallelujah. Give him praise in the house. Glorify him, praise him. Praise him, there's power. Power, you need power. Power to get you off that porch. Power to get us off of this porch. There's an army rising up. Woo. God's calling you to be a part of that army. Rising up, break every chain. Woo. Oh yeah, oh yeah. There is power. Rising. Yes. Rising. Army rising up. Woo. Glory to God. Break every chain. Woo. Every chain broken. Every chain broken. Off the chain. Off the hook. Break every chain. Every chain. Woo. Chains are breaking right now. God is breaking chains. Chains are breaking. Woo. Chains are breaking. Hear them snapping. As they play with that quietly again, we just want to thank you, Lord, that every chain is breaking today. Father, some of us feel it. Some of us may not feel a thing. We're not walking by feeling. We're walking by faith. Some of us are so chained, we can't even get in this hardly. We've been chained up for so long. And the enemy says, you'll never get free. The devil is a liar. He's already setting you free. Chains are already breaking. Whether you feel it or not, you're going to know it in the days ahead. You will know it before this day is over. Because it's the anointing that destroys the chain. The anointing destroys the yoke. Not pastors preaching, not the singing. It's the anointing, the power of God that destroys, not breaks, destroys it. I declare it's destroyed. Obliterated. Oh, and he says the anointing lifts the heavy burden. Father, I thank you for lifting heavy burdens. I thank you for taking things off of your people. Off of them. Off. Come off. Because of the anointing today. Miracles. God, you're a miracle God. Working. You're not here by chance today. God loves you. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. He loves you. You'll never change it. You'll never get away from it. He'll follow you into heaven or into hell. He loves you. Father, we thank you. We thank you that chains are breaking today. I bind that resistance. I bind that stubborn spirit. I bind that rebellious spirit. I break those spirits. They're not our spirits. They are the devil's. We thank you for the spirit of power and love and a sound mind, thinking soundly, not crazy. Deliver us from crazy. Every one of us, deliver us from crazy. Jesus' mighty name. Break every chain. If you'd like prayer this morning, I'm going to dismiss the service. I want those who like prayer, just step out of your seat. We'd love to pray for you about anything. If you'd like agreement, prayer, hands laid on you, anointed with oil, whatever God may put in your heart, please come. We believe God is a miracle God, and we believe in signs and wonders following. God says he would work with us, signs confirming with signs. Father, I speak a confirming according to your word, Mark 16. Signs will follow us today. Back into our homes, back into wherever we're going. Somebody shout signs. Yeah, signs and wonders and miracles following you will confirm the word today. Going back with you this week, this day. God is breaking chains, breaking everything that the enemy has done to hurt and to harm and to hinder, to steal and to destroy. Jesus has come to bring life and life abundantly. We will have nothing less, nothing else. Abundant life. I'm committed to it. I'm dedicated to it. Till everyone under the sound of my voice breaks through to abundant, overflowing blessing in life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're going to pray and believe God for miracles in this altar. I thank you for those that have come today. Bless them. You said they're blessed coming in and they're blessed going out. I thank you the blessing will chase them, overtake them. They are the head and not the tail. They're above and not beneath. And they're blessed coming in and going out. I speak blessing on their families, blessing on their marriages, their relationships. God, work in their situations as you're breaking every chain to bring every blessing that you died to give us. Change things. Change the impossible. Give hope where there's hopelessness. Where some don't believe it can be any different, show them different, Lord. Help them to see that you're a God. Nothing's too hard or impossible for you. Make a believer out of them, Lord. Make a believer that God can do and will do the impossible for them. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you. Thank you for coming, church. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Give the Lord a praise. We're going to believe God up here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, we praise you and thank you.